Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Mangelson, and today we are bringing you another episode in our Fair Trade series where we talk about faith transitions. So today I have on my dear friend, Tyler Mars, and Tyler actually was recently on Project Zion podcast. I think you were on a Holy Grounds episode with Joanne Fisher and Robin Linkhart. So we just heard what Tyler is doing currently in Community of Christ, but now we're going to rewind the clock a little bit and talk about how he came to know Community of Christ. So, Tyler, welcome. This is going to be fun.
It sure will. Thanks so much, Brittany.
All right. Well, Tyler, do you feel like you need to give, maybe just give a little brief introduction, let everybody know where you're at, what you do for a living, just that kind of thing.
Sure. So I currently live in Seattle, Washington. I work at a local university here in the food business. I'm a catering sales manager. So I pretty much eat, sleep, and breathe food all day, managing events and worrying about people and the things that they do. I recently located here last fall or end of summer. From Salt Lake City, Utah. I'd spent the last 5 years there. And that's actually where I discovered Community of Christ and eventually joined the church.
Awesome. And met me.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Just kidding. Yeah, Tyler and I came into Community of Christ around the same time. He had been attending, I think, for a few months before the Mangelson crew showed up. But yeah, it was all in that same season and flow of the congregation. So we have been through a wild adventure together, me and Tyler. So, Tyler, let's, like I said, rewind the clock a little bit more. What did faith look like when you were growing up? Were you engaged in church life? Was God or spirituality talked about in your home? How was it? Just let us know what faith looked like as you were growing up.
Yeah, so when I was young, going through elementary, high school, our family attended the local Lutheran congregation. It was the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and that's pretty much what I grew up doing. When I was young, we attended fairly regularly, almost every Sunday, involved in little weekend activities that they did for like congregational activities. And then towards middle school and into high school, we began to get attending far less, really sporadically, until in my later high school years, we pretty much stopped going altogether. And I don't know if there's necessarily one reason or another that led to that. I think it was really my parents that sort of chose to stop taking us. And so that was kind of my youthful time with that. As far as my belief in God and those things at that time, though, I'd say I probably went through the motions for most of it. I did have some small experiences with fellow congregants in that Lutheran congregation where when I was going through my confirmation to be a member of the congregation, part of that process is sort of going through a catechism type class, though the Lutheran Church doesn't call it that. But it's sort of lessons on learning about the history of the church and different things. And I had a small experience with a wonderful older lady who I guess I kind of considered my church grandma at the time. She's super sweet and just always smiled and cared about me and pinched my cheeks and all of that. But she gave me kind of a special little gift that I still have. And it was a Bible that she had engraved with my name. And inside it, on a little post-it note, she wrote, Pastor Tyler, ? Which I still hold on to. I still hold on to that thought of why she gave it to me, why she thought, you know, I might be a pastor, those kinds of things. It's just a memory that sticks in my brain that there were things about me that brought that into her mind. Yeah.
So it sounds like you had a good support system. Did you feel like your concept of God supported that love that you felt from your fellow congregants? I mean, was your concept of God a God of unconditional love, or was it more complicated than that?
I mean, I'd say there was a lot of things I frankly didn't know and didn't really have maybe a deep interest just because I was so young at the time. In the Lutheran church, though, I recall and it being that you understood who God was through Jesus Christ. The Lutheran church very much believes in the concept of the Trinity. And so to try and understand God, you understand Christ. And so I feel like in my experiences, Christ's name was used a lot more and we studied a lot more. I remember readings from the gospel very often in church, every Sunday, actually, about the acts of the apostles, the things that Christ did, the miracles Christ performed. And so I guess to answer that, I don't know if I really had a fully shaped concept of who God was at the time, other than that I understood who God was through Jesus Christ, which for me on my faith journey really led me to want to seek out a lot more of those answers. As I grew older, as I left high school and went into college, I learned of a lot of other of my friends that I was going to school with were religious, and it made me wonder what I believed. And I realized that I didn't have a lot of answers to what I believed. So with that, when I went to college and sort of having these questions, and my friends who believed were going to different churches and believed different things, I remember when I had moved into my dorm at university, and there was, it was a co-ed floor, but same-sex rooms. And so we were getting to know the different people on our floor. And there was a girl a couple doors down the hall who me and my dorm mate were getting to know. And she had a poster up on her wall of, it's sort of an iconic LDS image of, I believe it was of Christ knocking on the door, but there's no doorknob, referring to the scripture. And I remember asking her about that, and it just sparked, you know, what church are you? And for anyone else, I think other than someone coming from a restoration background, that's a super easy question to ask. You know, you say, oh, I'm Catholic, oh, I'm Lutheran, I'm Presbyterian. And you sort of just automatically know little bits about what they believe, or you have this idea built in your head of what they believe. But she was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I knew nothing about that church. In that, I didn't know, I had never seen missionaries, I had never been to a service, I didn't know any members of the church, I had never seen a temple, sort of these iconic images or things that say, you know, oh, we're LDS. I had never seen or experienced any of that. I didn't have any family members who were LDS, so I had no paradigm or image to go off of. And so then I just simply asked her, oh, well, what do you guys believe? And I chuckle at that because that's a big question to someone who's LDS. And that is, I think what I'd say, probably also a golden opportunity for them to share what they believe in and have that quote unquote missionary moment where they can share what they believe and what their church believes in hopes that you'll understand it. And so I remember actually having a conversation with her that evening about the church, about the LDS church and what they believed. And one of the first things she shared with me was the LDS Articles of Faith. And the one that stuck out to me most was, and I should be a better Mormon, but I'm not, as I don't remember which Article of Faith it is, that talks about God having a God and Jesus Christ being separate beings. And to someone who's not from that background, that concept is completely new. But what I appreciated about it, honestly, was that it had a more concrete image of who God was and who Christ was. It gave you something to focus on, to think about, instead of coming from a Lutheran background of sort of a Trinitarian God, where you really have no idea who God is, you know, who Christ is, and and that's what you look to. So at that time in my spiritual journey, I appreciated that knowledge. And as I came to learn more things about the LDS Church, it gave more black and white, more a better foundation, more something that was more concrete to cling to believe, to learn about, to use as a springboard. So with that, I began to learn more about the LDS Church, and everything I learned, I kind of ate up. I loved what I was learning. I loved the concepts, the firmness of their belief, the surety of it. That was intriguing for me. And so after, I'd say, about a few months, I ended up joining the church, and that was no easy feat. My parents didn't agree with that decision. They, even though they had stopped going to their church years before, they didn't love that I was investigating and joining the LDS Church. And so that actually caused a bit of rift in our family for a little bit because of that. But my sort of stalwart mindset was that, or maybe my naivete of that was that my church that I had learned about was true and right, and it sort of didn't matter the consequences that it had. I, of course, don't necessarily think that way anymore, but those were my thoughts at the time.
Well, and it sounds like from when before you went to college, you know, I asked a question about God and how God was in your mind, like the concept of God, how that was lived out for you in a Lutheran church. And I mean, you said that it was just, I'm putting words in your mouth now, but it sounds like God was a mystery. And so we can see Jesus's life through the scriptures, through the gospels. And so that's how we interact with God. And so to have, I can understand, you know, wanting a more concrete, something to grasp onto when you're becoming a young adult, when you're going off to college, having that sense of certainty, that sense of security and safety. It makes sense that you would go towards something that claims to have all the answers and claims to have the right answers. So let's talk about Mormon Tyler for a little bit. How was being Mormon?
It was an adventure, a roller coaster, a ship on crazy seas. It had its good moments, but it had its hard moments too. You know, I look back and I try to think of the fond memories I have. I made a lot of friends being a part of the church. I made a lot of connections. I went to a Mormon school for university. I ended up transferring to an LDS school to continue through college. And there I met even more friends and was more immersed in the cultural LDS experience. And frankly, I wanted that. I had sort of lived my whole life one way, and I was very interested and had just joined this church. I was very interested in it. And so I wanted to be fully immersed in it. And so that's why I chose to go to an LDS school. And it's school itself was great. The religious experience was a roller coaster. I had some positive, wonderful experiences with people who enjoyed hearing about my conversion story into the LDS Church and the experiences with my family and their not agreeing with things. To them, they saw me as sort of a stalwart member of the church, this person who had really persevered through some difficult things to make what was in their mind a right and worthy and holy decision. So I think the overarching thing that impacted my experience and caused me to have such a roller coaster effect while at school and ultimately my entire time in the LDS Church was sort of coming into my sexuality and being a gay man. I grew up in a very conservative household with fairly religious parents, but conservative household and conservative, fairly conservative extended family. And so that just shaped a lot of what we did and how we thought and all of that. And so I grew up believing that being gay was a learned behavior. It was, and it was something that could be unlearned or dealt with or a way to manage or cope. And so for my beginning few years in the LDS church, I sort of turned it off, and I treated it sort of like an addiction a little bit, in that how I thought about people or things, I would actively make my brain switch those thoughts. I would work on them not being present at all. And it wasn't until I had a strong desire to serve a mission in the LDS church and wasn't able to because of my sexuality that I think that really sort of sparked this journey of fully coming to terms with it and facing it head on and dealing with it. And that had its own roller coaster in how I chose to manage that. Of course, being a member of the LDS church, it's not very savory to be LGBT and live that way actively. It doesn't fit in with their doctrine, really. Of course, that's not explicitly something that's talked about, but for you to be LGBT in the LDS church is not an easy thing either. And so I wrestled with over the years of things like, does God accept me? Is this a blessing or a curse? I got to a point where I told myself, okay, no, I'm going to not act on those inclinations, as how I thought them at the time. I'm going to be straight. I'm going to date women, and I did. I tried it for years. And that was an adventure. Sorry, I'm just reminiscing on some of those things, but as I moved along in the church, I really realized how much this was affecting my spirituality and my connection with God and my connection with church. And I'd say even at times how I was able to form relationships with other people, because it was about whether or not I was going to be honest and open with who I was and being vulnerable and sharing something like that with other people. In some instances, you have to be careful with that, because not everyone in the LDS church is as accepting, or I'd say even in the world, really. It's not just exclusive to the LDS church, but it's not an easy thing to be gay and a member of that church. And so for the majority of my time in the LDS church, my spirituality always had this chip on it, I guess you would say, with or this added weight to it of how am I going to balance my sexuality with my belief in God and how God wants me to live my life, or at least then how I thought God wanted me to live my life. I went through some really difficult things while I was there. There were lots of times where I was not considered a worthy member of the church. So that meant that I couldn't participate in a lot of things as an active priesthood member might. Side note, I was ordained an elder in the LDS church. And so that had sort of a list of duties and responsibilities that an elder would do in the church. And when you are considered quote unquote unworthy, there are things you aren't able to do. And as well in church participation that you're not able to do. And so those were never easy for me, to be that person that just sits in church and can't participate in certain things. or isn't able to exercise or use the priesthood that you've been given to bless other people's lives. Now, what I always thought was interesting during this time is that there was an immense amount of guilt with that, but I did still have a connection with God. And so as I moved on in my faith and began to deal with some of these things, these issues more directly, I realized how I believed in some pretty foundational things was different. How I believed in grace, how I believed in repentance, how I believed the role of a bishop or a pastor, a spiritual leader should function, what their role should be in your life, if there is a role. And as I began to investigate those things and really realize what I believed and what resonated with my heart, I realized what I believed wasn't what the church believed. And I wish I could say it was so clean at that point and that I could say, oh, well, these are the things I believe and I'm just going to leave all the rest behind. That had its own bit of roller coaster with it, where I felt like I had some unfinished business or some things I hadn't attended to. And so I went back and forth between the two churches. And I guess this is where I should probably introduce that I discovered Community of Christ.
Real quick, though, I do want to just say or ask, what year was it that you converted to the LDS Church? Because I think that's probably significant.
Yeah, so after sharing all that, let me give you a little bit of context. So I started investigating the LDS Church in 2007. That was when I graduated high school and began university. And then I joined the LDS Church the following year, just a couple months later in 2008. And I spent the next 7 or 8 years in the LDS Church actively believing and working through some things at the end in terms of my belief and how and discovering that.
Yeah. So, and the reason why I bring that up is, well, number one, because it's an interesting point, but number two is I think, and you have permission to push back on me if this is not accurate, but I feel like the culture in the LDS Church around LGBTQ, just the topic at large, the community, the theology, all of the above, it was different. And I'm not making an argument whether it was better or worse, but I think that it just wasn't talked about as much. And I think maybe because this was on the very beginnings of social media, so it's not like people were really sharing their stories. So I can look back at that time in my own life, and now I have several people who have since then come out, but they didn't really have any models of what that should look like in the LDS Church because nobody talked about it. And you couldn't just hop on Facebook and find a Mormon Stories podcast to figure out how to navigate these things. It was just like, you're on your own. You just joined this church. You're figuring out who you are. And here's this plan of salvation we're throwing at you. And then you're just now trying to figure out who you are in the midst of all of this. So I just wanted to bring up, you know, that this was, what, a little over a decade ago. Because I do think, again, not that it was harder or easier back then to figure all of this out. I think you could actually make an argument either way. But that it was just different. And being a brand new convert, having no tools really on how to navigate how to be any sort of gay Mormon. And what does that even look like? And what identity takes precedence? And does an identity need to take precedence? And yeah, so I just wanted to raise that awareness a little bit that I was thinking about as you were telling your story.
Well, and I think honestly, you're pretty spot on with that. I mean, I'm trying to think back to those sort of formative years in the LDS Church after I had joined, and thinking if I knew any gay Mormons. And it wasn't until I started university and transferred to an LDS school that I met some of those individuals. And that was not right away either. So I'd say I probably went gosh, at least 4 years, four, maybe even into 5 years before I found another fellow gay Mormon.
Yeah, that's intense and significant because, again, how are you supposed to navigate this brand new faith when everybody else seems to fit in so perfectly, and then there's you? And so, and I know that a lot of new converts into the LDS Church also have a difficult time feeling like they fit in, because there's people who have generations and generations and generations in this church and get all the cultural nuances and get all the inside jokes and get the culture and all those things. And then when you're just kind of thrown into there, especially, man, at a church school, I mean, that's a whole nother animal. So yeah, it's pretty intense. So I guess just continue. So you end up moving to Utah, and how was all that?
Yeah, so I moved to Utah for work. I had a handful of really interesting experiences just weeks prior to me moving to Utah that really impacted my spiritual experience in a very unique way. It raised a lot of questions. So I moved to Utah and I start a new job. And I'm actively attending my singles ward in the heart of Salt Lake City, Mormon capital of the world. And knowing that it's going to be a unique and different experience. I mean, my only real experiences have been essentially in two other cities prior to that. And so the church, the LDS church, does look different wherever you go. There are definitely some foundational things that are the same, but the culture is very much different. And in Salt Lake City, in my experience, in my congregation there, I think I was really honestly blessed with a fairly good congregation. It was a young single adult congregation. So those are individuals from 18 to 30, 31 technically, but we had some older individuals who were there. And I think I was fortunate enough because the majority of our members of our congregation were young professionals. They weren't necessarily college students. They had graduated or they were in their master's degree. And so the caliber of thinking was a little bit higher. I think the acceptance was a little bit higher there, and tolerance, I guess, of people from all walks of life. And so I appreciated that. But I will still have those thoughts and those questions in my mind, especially from those spiritual experiences I had just prior to moving to Salt Lake, that really caused me to want to seek something else or work some things out. And so it was also my first opportunity to really be in an area that had any sort of a prominent quote unquote gay scene. Idaho does not. Where I previously was living and going to school. And so moving to Utah really opened a lot of doors for me, and honestly, a lot of new opportunities. And so I had had some experiences in Idaho where I had been a part of some choirs and done some really, really great things and connected with God in a musical way that I really appreciated. And so I wanted to try and continue those things. And I had discovered an LGBT interfaith choir that is a smaller choir, but brings people from different faiths, primarily though people from the Latter-day Saint background, restoration background. And these are gay men and women, trans individuals, bisexual, and allies. They're all part of this choir. And I went to check it out and see what it was like, and I officially joined and began singing with that choir. And it was in that choir that I was introduced to a wonderful person, one of my really dear friends, Robin Linkhart, that you and I both have in common.
I know where this is going.
And it was kind of murmured throughout occasionally as I was going to these choir practices that Robin was a part of our She was one of our LDS cousins, I think, as we said, you know, that she was a part of this different church that was also part of the Restoration Movement. But the conversations and chatter never really went beyond that. It was during one of our dress rehearsals, though, for prior to her performance, that I decided to ask her about her church that she was a part of. And I honestly don't remember the exact things that were said. I know that she talked about their service, and that she just sort of briefly talked about the commonalities that we might have. But then she invited me to worship with her. And my so my first Sunday in Community of Christ was also the same weekend as the Pride Festival in Salt Lake City. And I attended Sunday school and our worship service following that, and I was one of, I believe, 5 or 6 members at that time. This the year would have been 2014 that I was my first time I had attended Community of Christ.
So what were your initial thoughts?
I would have to say, I mean, it was a completely new experience for me. As I was there, though, I didn't know what to expect at all. I didn't know what Sunday school looked like for them. I didn't know what worship service looked like for them. And my only experience for the last 8 years had been an LDS church, which looks exactly the same no matter where you go. And but something that I noticed was unique and sort of struck a chord in me was how the worship service was structured. And it reminded me very much of my Lutheran upbringing and how those services were structured, with there only being one sermon and with hymns and calls and responses or responsive readings that we did where there was congregant participation. That's not something that happens in the LDS church as often, but it reminded me so much of my experience in the Lutheran church. I'd say that overall it was positive. I honestly don't recall having a single negative experience.
So I was going to ask what kept you coming back, but that seems like a silly question. So I guess, was it the familiarity and maybe the sense of home, because it kind of connected to your Lutheran background a little bit? And then I'm also curious to know, did you realize that the church was not in the same place that the LDS church was as far as being LGBT inclusive?
So that was, I will say that was probably one of the first things I learned or knew about the church that Robin shared with me, is that it was LGBT inclusive church. And so I think that did really spark my curiosity about it. But there were stark differences between how both churches function on a Sunday. And it was a good curiosity that I had when I was attending Community of Christ, just because things of it resonated with my Lutheran life, but also wanting to dig deeper into how does this church believe in Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon and also affirm LGBT individuals? Because all of my previous experience says those things don't mesh together at all. And I'd say as well, during my interest in Community of Christ, I had a ton of cognitive dissonance in the LDS church, mainly sort of from this concept of God being this loving, wonderful God, but also being, in my mind, so punitive at the same time, a God that wasn't fully embracive of all of God's children, that had consequences for certain actions. And I'd say probably one of the bigger things being that, you know, I had done things that in the LDS church might have been considered unworthy, but in any other church were totally okay. And the unique part about that, the reason I share that, is that I experienced God and the Holy Spirit during all of that. And so that, I think, was really the crux of my cognitive dissonance, was I had these experiences that I knew how God was, but a religion that was telling me that was impossible.
I can relate to that. I remember, you know, quote unquote, feeling the spirit during a community of Christ worship service, and it was almost jarring. I mean, because it felt very much the same as when you would quote unquote feel the spirit in the LDS church. And my personal theology on that has evolved a lot since my first encounter with community of Christ. But I specifically remember that moment that you're addressing right now, this idea of like, wait a second, how am I meeting God in this place when because of A, B, and C, I've been taught that I shouldn't be encountering God here. I shouldn't be able to fill the spirit. I'm not worthy of it. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to feel happy. I'm not, I'm not supposed to feel God. So that for me, I can relate to that, where it was a big turning point. And now, I don't know for you, but for now for me, when I think of that, it almost seems so silly that I had put God in such a pigeonhole, and this assumption that I could only feel God's spirit and God's love in a certain type of worship service just kind of seems so, it just seems so silly now, but that's really where I was at. So it sounds like that's kind of where you were at as well.
I definitely am. And we definitely share those same feelings and experiences with that. I would say as well for me that as I think one of the concepts that really brought me, sort of helped edge me in the direction, was something that Robin Linkhart had said, that we put our own, I of course don't remember it exactly, but she essentially said that we put our own constructs in stopping God's spirit from working in our life. You know, we put up that umbrella from God's blessings of rain pouring down. We create that ourselves. That's not something we do. A result of something we've done. Our mindset is what stops God's spirit from working in our lives. And that transformed how I viewed God. I think I had a construct of God that there was this God of the Old Testament that was punitive and angry and fire and brimstone. And then there was Christ's God who was loving and compassionate and cared about you. And that's the God that I longed to experience more in my life. And so as I really sort of mentally dug deeper into that concept of I'm the one who's blocking, I mentally am the only thing that's blocking God from working in my life. And I got rid of that. And I realized that if I wanted it, God could be with me anywhere I was. He could be with me when I was in the grocery store, when I was walking in a park. God could be with me when I went on a date with another man. And that's a really emotional experience for me, in realizing that even now that God really is there. And I just think of so many individuals that don't have that belief and how much it impacts their spiritual life. So I'd say when I had that sort of transformative experience of realizing that God can be with me anywhere, anytime, it opened a lot of doors for me, and it caused me to have to rewrite a bit of my definitions on things, of grace, of worthiness. Is that even a thing? What is sin? I really then had to look at all that. If I believed that God could be with me anywhere, I had to then look at those hard things where I was told God wasn't.
Thank you for sharing so deeply from your heart. And I know that it's really jarring, and I can only imagine how it would feel coming from a conversion story that included so much certainty and finding so much comfort in certainty, and then to recognize that God's love just tears down those walls of certainty. I mean, it just busts right through. And that God is, I think, in in Community of Christ, there's a document that I think was produced by the seminary that kind of gives names of God, and there's a whole bunch of them. And I'm pretty sure that the Great Puzzler or something like that, or maybe it's even Trickster. Like there's a couple names in that list, and that have to do with being tricky and surprising. And when you encounter that God for the first time, it's really jarring, because then you think, well, shoot, I'm going to have to act on this. And sometimes that completely changes your life when you're breaking out of the boxes of certainty.
It's very true. And honestly, my word for that God is peculiar God.
Yeah.
I experienced God in that form when I would just always call God peculiar, because it was these moments of aha. It was these moments of, wow, okay, you do also work in that way as well. It was surprising. It wasn't ever scary for me though, or it didn't ever make me draw back or hide or question things. It was an exciting sort of a peculiar.
Hmm. I like how you worded that. And I like how brave you were, because I think for me, it scared me to death. Oh, I really, really wanted to make the LDS church work for way, way, way too long. Yeah, but I've already told my story here. So let's keep going with you. Tyler, I just feel like we're sitting on my couch again, just like chit-chatting. This is great.
Only we actually could.
I know.
With a big bowl of ice cream.
Oh, seriously. Oh, the bowls of ice cream we have had.
So many. I will say one of the things, though, there's a lot of individuals when going through faith transitions where they have this experience where they're sort of falling and they don't know where to land. They feel like someone's pulled out the rug from underneath them. And I don't know if I ever really experienced that. I think because I sort of essentially hopped from one church to another church that shared some commonalities, I think that gave me a little bit of a softer landing from which to figure out what I believed. And I will say that's one of the things I appreciated about Community of Christ and our congregation in Salt Lake City, was that it was a wonderfully loving and accepting congregation for people of all walks of life. And so I was able to maybe carry some of my more black and white beliefs for a while as I was trying to determine what I believed. I worked through things with my sexuality and with God, and I had a congregation of people that loved me no matter what. That helps me work through those things, that shared their thoughts on the matter, but it never was a judgmental experience. It never was a, well, I'm right and you're wrong. It was a, we're all in this thing learning together sort of an experience, and we're all trying to add to and build upon our spiritual building blocks of what we believe God is and religion is and worship and what we think that should look like and how that experience should go. And so I'm really grateful for that I was able to work through all that in such a safe environment. And for a long time in Community of Christ, actually, when I would tell people that I was attending former LDS individuals, I would tell them that it's a great place to rest. It's a great place to figure out what you believe without judgment, that you can hold on to your beliefs, you can throw them out the window, but you can be in a safe space that worships God and has a wonderful, friendly atmosphere and a caring and loving atmosphere.
Yeah, again, I just relate to all of your thoughts. You did mention earlier that you ended up having what you called, I think you called it unfinished business. Do you want to get into that a little bit?
Sure. So I had been attending Community of Christ for a few years, and I I loved it. There was a short time in the beginning where I kind of flip-flopped between the LDS Church and Community of Christ. I was fortunate enough that our congregation was only, I think, about a mile and a half, 2 miles apart from where my LDS congregation was, and they met at different times. So I could actually go back and forth. But that didn't last very long, and I just kept going Community of Christ because something kept drawing me back to it. And as I was working through my beliefs and figuring out my definitions of God, a big thing in the LDS Church, interestingly, is having a temple experience, going through the temple, receiving your endowment, all of that. And because I did not serve a mission in the LDS Church, I did not have that experience. And so for me, I, after 2 years in Community of Christ, I decided to go back to the LDS Church and experience that. I went back knowing that in their eyes, I technically was defined as an apostate because I had joined Community of Christ. We haven't talked about that yet, but I... Shocker.
That's true. Community of Christ. Spoiler alert. I just breezed right past that.
Do you want me to talk about that now?
Yeah. Why don't you just, take a couple steps back and tell us about your actual conversion process.
So I would say joining Community of Christ, I did wrestle with it for a little bit because I think the bigger thing behind that was leaving behind a faith that said they were the one true church on the earth. And I know a lot of other seekers might be able to resonate with that thought. And those who have converted from the LDS Church to Community of Christ, giving up that idea of a one true church. And it ultimately was that Community of Christ felt more home than the LDS Church. And there is a little bit of a caveat in that you can be a member of Community of Christ is okay with you being a member of both churches. And so I chose to do that. It did require a lot of thought, a lot of just a lot of soul searching. And is this really the right home for me? Will I be able to grow in this church? Will it feed me spiritually? Will it give me the things that I'm searching for? Will it allow me to even go beyond that? And I realized that it felt more home than any other church I had been a part of. So I joined Community of Christ. I was confirmed a member by some wonderful people in our congregation, and it was truly a wonderful experience. But it was actually shortly after that, I'd say probably about 6 months, that I really still had on my mind this concept of unfinished business and wanting to experience the temple and the LDS Church. I think because maybe I hadn't fully made peace with leaving a one true church mentality. I hadn't fully worked that out. And so I decided to go back to the LDS Church for a time and attend and see what that was like. And if that, I guess, really maybe be sure of if I was on the right path. And I knew that experiencing the temple was a significant part of that. And so to be able to do that, you have to meet with a bishop and you have to go through a bit of interview processes in determining, are you ready? Is it the right step in your life to do that? As I said, most people go through the temple for reasons of marriage or serving a mission, and I was doing neither of those. And so as I met and talked with him, one of my two questions that I asked my bishop was, this is something that I'm interested in, but I have formally joined another church. Is that going to be an issue? And my bishop pulled out the handbook and read under the section of apostasy. It sounds odd saying all of this now, but we read through that together, and it it defines someone as an apostasy as having formally joined another church and advocating for their beliefs. And we had kind of agreed that if I didn't advocate for my beliefs that I had in Community of Christ, that it would be okay. And so just a few short months after that, I actually was able to go through the temple and receive my endowment and experience that. And we could go on a long conversation about the endowment and people's experiences, positive and negative. Mine overall was a good experience. There were a lot of things that I didn't resonate with at all, but I was sort of determined to experience the temple to its fullest, and that I was going to attend frequently. I was going to go at different times a day, go to different temples, and see, is this really something that's for me? Is this the thing that is true, maybe, and that would keep me in the LDS Church? And it didn't ever give me that. The temple is a peaceful place. It is quiet. It's a great place for meditating, but it's not the only place you can do that. And so I spent about a year in the LDS Church, back in the LDS Church, attending the temple regularly. But during that time, I also told myself that I was going to be honest and true to who I was. I wasn't going to hide my sexuality. I wasn't going to hide my questions about the church, my different beliefs in what grace was, none of that. And I mean, I of course was maybe a little more delicate with who I talked about those things with, but I was by no means ashamed of any of that. And so I was the person in Sunday school who raised my hand and said, I have a contrary experience to that, and this is it. And those conversations were sometimes awkward because the instructor never knew where to go with it. It didn't jive with their lesson and what they were teaching, and frankly, at times, the whole LDS experience. So I was kind of an odd duck out still. Granted, there were other individuals who were going through rough experiences with their faith in the LDS Church, but they were actively trying to make it work. And so even though we might still struggle with beliefs and things, it was different a bit. I wasn't afraid to share my experiences in Community of Christ with the things I learned about. I wasn't afraid to share about my spiritual formation experiences that I had in Community of Christ and the unique things that happened there. And I was so bold as to actually one time when I gave a talk in the LDS Church to talk about how I had felt God's Spirit and God's love, even though I was quote unquote doing wrong. And that is something you don't hear. You would really never hear coming from an LDS pulpit. Because we were taught that the Spirit can't reside when we're quote unquote sinning or doing wrong. And so to have experienced that, I honestly was nervous to share that with people, but I was brave and I did. And I was surprised the amount of people, including the bishop's wife, who came up to me afterwards and says, you know what, that's true. That's not how God works. God still can be with you, and God's Spirit can be with you in those experiences. And so it was a unique time of being a part of the LDS Church. But I think ultimately what led me to go back to Community of Christ is it just didn't feel like home anymore. And it was that I think for the first time in my life had realized that my sexuality has nothing to do with my spirituality. It doesn't have to. That was the first time that I was able to separate that and realize that how I believed in God and in grace and in sin and what those things were and how that worked in my life, that I realized my sexuality has nothing to do with that. And so if I can, I'd love to share sort of my last day in an LDS congregation and what that was like to leave, if I can.
Yeah, for sure. Please do.
I remember sitting through sacrament meeting. And honestly, the last few weeks had felt very similar, that it was just the same things being talked about over the pulpit. Nothing was new or profound. It was sort of everyone was toting the same line, for lack of a better phrase. And I sat in another sacrament meeting just sort of being unimpressed. I mean, it was good, but I didn't glean anything from it. And so I then went on to Sunday school and went down and sat in a class. And some of the topics that were talked about were grace and what it meant to be worthy. And I sat there and I realized this person talking about these definitions and how it impacts their life and these other people giving comments were not even close to what I believed. And I realized in that moment that I had made peace. I felt peace, definitely, that my definitions of those things did not match, and that was okay. But I knew exactly where I could go to be around people that believed those same things and had those same definitions, and a place where I could still work on that and figure that out, that I didn't have to believe one set way. And so I got up in the middle of my Sunday school class and just quietly walked out. And I walked up the stairs and I passed a couple people hanging out in the halls. I said hi. I walked out the front doors and I got in my car and I drove to Communion of Christ. And I haven't been back. And it wasn't a sad thing. It was immensely peaceful, realizing that there was a place I could go that resonated with me, where my heart sang. And a couple people listening to this will recognize that phrase because they introduced it to me. So,
oh, Tyler, I just want to reach through my screen and give you a hug. You know, I will say that I think that so many people make such a dramatic fall out of faith or out of a church when it comes to, you know, a quote unquote faith crisis. But for you, it really was a journey of faith, and it was up and down and took unexpected turns. But at the same time, you were always going to that center place. It almost feels like you're spiritual journey in the few years that I've known you has almost been like a labyrinth. You know, you just never quite know where it's going, and maybe you're disoriented a little bit, and maybe that's the point. Maybe the point is to just kind of get lost in the journey. But you know that the destination is someplace steady, and you're getting there doesn't have to look like anyone else's. And I think that that's one reason why I've been so anxious to get your story on Project Zion, which, by the way, listeners, we've been working on this for quite a while. And either I'm just busy or Tyler's busy. But yeah, I've really, really wanted to get this on here, just because so many times the narrative of going from the LDS Church to Community of Christ is sometimes really dramatic. Or once it happens, it just happens and it's a clean break. But Tyler's was a little more complicated than that. And I think that God can be found in the complications. So I'm just glad that you've just been so open and honest, because honestly, I think that there's a lot more stories like yours that are in one point of the journey or another. So, Tyler, I guess, and I've also thought about getting you on for our little Chai Can't Even series, so maybe that'll happen next, but I guess maybe if that happens, as a preview for that, I usually like to talk to young adults a little bit about their hopes for Community of Christ, or why they are still involved with church life. And I kind of think that those two questions or ideas go hand in hand. Or what are some of your hopes? And then what keeps you engaged in the life of Community of Christ?
That's a great question. I did want to preface just by what you had mentioned earlier, I think about my journey, my faith journey in through the churches I've been a part of, and I know that God was there the entire time with me in that. And honestly, I don't know if I'd change the experience either. I mean, I think I might hope for some of those negative experiences to have not happened, because they really did cause a lot of heartache. But at the same time, they helped me dig deeper into who God really is. And so that's my thought with that. As far as Community of Christ and what keeps me going and what I sort of look forward to, for me, Community of Christ does an amazing job of community. I sort of thought that the LDS Church was good at community, right? Because we have these wards and we do activities all the time, and it's a way for bringing people together. But what's missing, I think, oftentimes is how genuine those experiences are. And so in Community of Christ, when we have those moments where we all come together, whether as a congregation or at reunion, the sense of camaraderie and vulnerability and openness with people around you is amazing. It brings a sense of friendship and bond that I honestly haven't really experienced very many other places, but I'm so grateful for. And so for me, that's a big reason why I come to Community of Christ, why I love Community of Christ, is their sense of community for the name's sake.
I can relate to that a lot. That is high on the reason why I stick around as well. Well, Tyler, I mean, I'm tempted to have you go into all the current stuff that you're doing with the church. And I guess if you want to talk about that a little bit, but then I also want to point our listeners over to the last episode that you did. And we'll be sure to link that in the show notes and in the blog posts and everything. But yeah, I mean, do you want to give us just a quick update on what exactly you're doing with the church now, and then any final thoughts that you might have?
Sure. So currently in Community of Christ, I am involved with my congregation. We are actually working towards having a congregational booth at our Seattle Pride Festival, which is a very large festival. They have multiple, actually. I am also currently involved with the Gala organization and their merger with the Welcoming Community Network. I am on their, what we call their surviving board. So we are helping make decisions as to what and the footwork, essentially, of what the organization will look like moving forward when those organizations are combined. And so I'm helping with that, myself and a team of other people. We certainly can't do this alone. And then I also am involved with Community of Christ Spiritual Formation and Companioning Program, which I talked about in a previous episode. And that has been a wonderful experience for me. A lot of it is self-guided in your experience with spiritual formation, but I'm really appreciative of that and the things that it teaches me, and my experience and connection with new people across the U.S. who are also involved in that program.
Thank you. And like I said, I'll make sure to have that episode linked along with this one. So if you missed that, then listen to this one. Well, you've already listened to this one because we're wrapping it up, but as soon as you're done with this one, head on over and listen to more of Tyler's experience with the Spiritual Formation and Companioning Program. So Tyler, do you have any other final thoughts? Anything that I didn't necessarily get to in my questions, or just anything to wrap us up with?
I think the only thing I just might say is that really everyone's journey is so unique, and the things that they have gone through and experienced, and it all shapes in some way. And so just as much as I love sharing my story with other people, I like hearing other people's story and seeing how they compare and how they differ, and realizing that we're all on our own unique journey with God. And it's a fun and crazy and wild experience.
I think one of my favorite parts of Project Zion podcast is telling these stories of faith transitions. I think it helps other Latter-day seekers or just seekers at large feel like they maybe could have a place in this community. And then I think it also just helps hear stories in general terms. I know that these stories really help me re-examine my faith and the reasons why I'm sticking around and the reasons why I've made the choices that I have. And it's always good to hear a perspective of enthusiastic converts, I think, that have come into the church because we have found healing and wholeness here. So thank you, Tyler. I'm really glad that we were able to record this episode, and maybe it won't be the last time you're on PZP. We shall see.
Thanks so much, Brittany. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use. And while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.